Welcome to back to the Monday Night Wars. I'm your lovely host, Cav Manning, along with Mr. Billy Body.
Hello.
It is August 4th, 1997, and it is the day after SummerSlam Heart and Soul, which was a very good pay-per-view if you listened to the show yesterday. Your thoughts on that pay-per-view, if there's anything we missed?
No, I think we covered it. We were pretty different. Well, we were a little bit far off on our ratings for it in terms of the dollar system, but we still ended up with a B, and that's where it was. But I mean, most significantly, as I said on the show, the moments that came out of it, like three of them you remember forever. Like two of them were negative, like in terms of the way the contest and Austin's injury. But the finish for the Bret Undertaker match, one of the best ever. Mm-hmm. And they get into that here. But they go very much on this show into setting up Ground Zero and having matches announced that we didn't know about off the back of SummerSlam, which I think is a very strange but noteworthy thing that happened on this show.
Also, this is going to be the 100th episode of Nitro. They've had 100 episodes, and it's a three-hour show for Nitro this week.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that they're combating a day after, like, their second biggest pay-per-view, that they go into a three-hour special.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like they only worked it out a few weeks before, or maybe even on that week, because this would be something that you would think they would be building up for a while, going, oh, the 3 hour, the 100th episode's coming up in 4 weeks. I remember when Raw did Raw 1000 and it was promoted for like months.
Yeah. I didn't even know it was coming, I think, until, maybe the week before they mentioned. That was about it. Right off the bat, we'll start off with Nitro since it's more of a special show and it's number 100. Hogan and Bischoff start this, and it's the go home show to Road Wild, which is actually on a Saturday. So the pay-per-view is Saturday instead because of the whole Sturgis deal being outside. I always hated that damn pay-per-view just because it's people who don't give a shit about being there. They're just there because it's pretty much free and everyone parks their motorcycle for their own seats. So this is the go-home show for it. And we start off with Hogan and Bischoff talking in the ring.
I said it a couple weeks ago, my friend, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And something that's really not changed is Luger. That man is dumb as a brick.
Well, you know something, Mr. Bischoff. When you mess with Hollywood, brah, you mess with the whole NWO. And when you get in our face, you better be ready to pay dues for life. Now, point taken. I've got the whole world watching Road Wild. I've got 500,000 Brahma fat boys ready to cheer me on, brother. And Lex Luger, you were the lamb that I was going to slaughter right in Sturgis. But you know, the WCW is so cocky, they did a little finagling with the paperwork, brother. They went around behind the highest executive back, Mr. Eric Bischoff. And oh yeah, they sealed, signed, and delivered a world title match tonight. I don't like it one bit, but Lex Luger, you are gonna pay for this mistake. In front of all these people tonight, I'm going to drag you through the mud and prove that Hollywood Hogan is the god that made professional wrestling what it is today.
Oh, give it up for Hollywood!
For life. For life. You know something? Hold on. Jimmy, hold on a minute, Jimmy. The thing is, after I wiped the mat with Luger in front of all my NWites, Like we said, the NWO title stays in the family. And the number one contender that's gonna get to jam with Hollywood and Sturgis is none other than my blood brother, Scott Hall. We're gonna get on, dude.
Give it up for the man!
So that's Hogan, and this night will be, of course, Lex Luger's chance at the title after winning his chance. I don't know how many months. I forget when the hell he even won it. Was it a pay-per-view that he won this fucking title shot?
It was when Giant let him pin someone from Harlem Heat, I think. It was at a pay-per-view, yeah.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. We get Mortis versus Kurt Hennig. Is it Hennig or Hennig? I think it's Hennig, but I think everyone calls him Hennig.
Look at the spelling. Has it got an I-N-G?
Yeah, it's I-G, I believe. So it's Hennig, but yeah. It's awful. Whatever his name is, he wins. And then you get Jeff Jarrett and Malenko versus Hector and Chavo. And is this the where we're going to get the disintegration of this team, this supposed team, and hung out to dry? And we're going to get that pretty going on pretty soon, where Double J is just being a dick and leaves with old Deborah McMichael, of course.
I don't think Double J's even got much longer left in this company.
He goes back and forth quite a bit.
Yeah.
He's got the title, though, the U.S. title.
Yeah, he goes back and forth, and he's not really a star anywhere. That's what you'll notice with him.
Yeah, no kidding. He's a hand. But meanwhile, gets like... He should be like a jobber hand then, but he's above that. Mean Gene is with Raven in the crowd, still with this bullshit contract thing and Stevie Richards showing up and everything. And he spits in Stevie Richards' face. it's the same. I'm not into this stupid storyline at all.
Because this is not where Richards says, don't abuse me anymore.
Yeah, not yet. He doesn't stand up yet.
Okay.
The Giant versus three jobbers. How about who one of the jobbers is? Do you recall this?
I do not recall it. No.
I made a note. Scott D'Amore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like, hey, look what the fuck this is. Malenko calls out Double J on the microphone. He's pissy. And then we get Public Enemy versus High Voltage. Public Enemy wins this. And then one of Billy's favorites, which he had to have a clip pulled for this guy, don't you? You know who we're talking about?
Oh, yeah. This is Alex Wright's clip.
Of course. All right. Enjoy Alex Wright.
Well, needless to say, this is becoming one of my favorite parts of the program.
You didn't have to say that.
I certainly needed to. I wish they would come out here sometime and dance at our broadcast location.
Yeah, instead of the NWO.
Wait a minute. That's not a Nitro girl back there.
What is this?
Thanks for nothing, Alex Wright.
Guess he's pretty happy about that Cruiserweight Championship belt.
Where's Alex Wright?
He's the one that, never mind. Let's go to Gene Okerlund, Gene.
Come here, please. Give me a break. Don't quit your day job, my friend. This guy is no Denny Terrio, believe me. Alex Wright, we got to talk about this coming Saturday on pay-per-view. Road Wild in Sturgis, you and Chris
Als allererstes möchte ich sagen, dass ich den Gürtel nicht gewonnen habe.
Hey, knock off the Wiener Schnitzel here, pal. We talk English. This is America. This is Detroit.
What's your language?
They're not happy with you.
First, I talk to the people who matter to me. Then I care. Then I talk to the people who I can care less about.
You're number one with this guy over here in the third row. He just gave you the signal. Let's talk about Chris.
Chris Jericho, if you watch tonight, if you want to be embarrassed again, like I embarrassed you last Nitro, just gonna be at Road Wild. I gonna be there, that's for sure. Now enough about Chris Jericho, that kitty cat. I'm important, okay? I am the world cruiserweight champion. I am the greatest wrestler. Not only because I'm Alex Wright, because I'm from Germany.
You might understand this. Auf Wiedersehen, my friend.
You try to speak German? I know all you people are uneducated. Non-two-speaking American population is just too much. You are all stupid.
All right, enough of that. Thank you, Tony. Let's get back to you.
Alex Wright is always fun because his English is terrible.
I think for some of this, for that particular one, was really good because you had to even watch it where the dancing that he comes out and does with the Nitro girls and then the way they were responding to it. It was just a perfect spot for him to be out. And then fucking Gene tries to bury him, but like he doesn't seem to...
He looked stunned for a second, though. Like, you try to speak German? And, like, he's...
He goes, it was something racist. I can't even quite remember exactly what the line was, but... It was like, hey, you kraut sausage or some bullshit like that.
Yeah, talking about a wiener schnitzel or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you try talk German? Like, oh, my God. I was like, it's not as bad as the Loch Ness deal where Mean Gene just buries the fucking talent.
No, but what I was saying is, like, he seems more resistant to it in terms of Gene will go back and forth with him, and Alex Wright just sort of brushes it off. He's not a victim of the Gene shovel. Because Gene is fucking... Now, we didn't talk about it on our recap show, like how Gene buries
everyone. And for some reason, he's immune. The boys don't get angry at Mean Gene. Alex Wright versus non-cruiser versus Riggs. They're trying to get Riggs to be able to do something. Lex with Mean Gene. You get here, and he just says he's ready for his title shot tonight. That's the gist of it. That's why we're not playing it. He's been gearing up. He's been waiting weeks. He's ready. Okay, very good. Benoit versus Six, and we get Jeff Jarrett showing up to get involved here, and then Mongo shows up. So we're going to soon get old Mongo involved here to where he's going to get the whole thing going where he gets the title shot and all that kind of stuff. That's going to be happening soon. I keep waiting for it to happen. And because I'm like, I know Mongo ends up with this fucking title. When the fuck is this happening? And by the way, Mongo ignored me when I was yelling Four Horsemen to him at the signing. And putting my hands up in four, he just ignored it. Never replied to it at all. I was surprised by it.
Was he just shouting at him from the line?
Yeah, it was. It was where all the guys came out to get their cars. So everyone's like, "Oh, Mongo, Mongo," and he's like, "Oh, Mongo's gone home a long time ago." You know, he's like tired or something. But I mean, it's a very, very small group that's there, so you could hear individual, and you're very close. And I'm like, Mongo, horseman. And I'm fucking giving up the four. And he's looking our way and just never even fucking acknowledged it. I was like, oh, I totally thought that would catch the attention, you know? He'd be like, oh, because that's different. Nobody's mentioning fucking horseman at the fan fest, you know?
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Okay, Booker T versus Vincent. How is this a match? I guess it's because... Vincent's been interfering a little bit, so they're just like, now we're just going to beat the piss out of him?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't even get moving here, so, I mean, it's odd because he's in the NWO, but he's there to do a role that Midian will do later on in WWE.
DDP with Mean Gene. DDP's going to face Ric Flair later, which is like, oh, that's a fucking... I was actually interested in watching that match. And he says, though, because they're kind of both good guys, and he says he respects Ric Flair, but he hates Kurt Hennig. And and he's kind of aligned with Flair, so that's what he's going to have a fight for it. Wrath versus the Barbarian. Wrath actually wins that match. And then you have the Steiner. No, go ahead.
Did Ming not come out here or something? And then square up to Adam Bomb.
Yeah, they all. This is their little rivalry with Mortis and Ming and everybody. And it's like they're getting involved now constantly in each other's match. I guess this is a rivalry that will be the popcorn match in upcoming pay per views.
No, that's fantasy warfare. Like, I always wanted to see Haku and Adam Bomb. Like.
Hey, he's the only king. Well, I guess there's two kings that are alive now. So the Steiners are with Ted DiBiase? How could this be? Let's have a listen.
Adam! Rick Scott Steiner back in Michigan. Ted DiBiase, you have been gone from the scene for 2.5 months. The last I saw you, you were with the NWO. What are you doing here tonight?
Well, Gene Oakland, you know, I've been on the inside of the NWO looking out. And now I've been on the outside of the NWO looking in. And there's an old cliche that says, sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. You gotta back up, take a deep breath, and take a look at the big picture, and take a look at what's really important. You know, Gene Okerlund, that I grew up in professional wrestling, that my father died in the ring in July of 1969, and I vowed then that I would live up to his name and his reputation and become a star in this business. I did that, but somewhere along the way, I lost track of the things that were really important. I got caught up flying around in Lear jets and limousines and being a big wheel. I used to live by another cliche. Every man has his price. But what that is every man pays a price for the choices that he makes. I've made some bad choices. Well, that ends now. The buck stops here.
You have seen the error in your ways, Mr. DiBiase?
Exactly, Gene. Now, that's a hard pill to swallow. And I don't expect the Steiner brothers to just accept me on blind faith. I've got to prove myself to them and to everybody else. And we start at Sturgis Saturday. I start tearing down what I helped build in the NWO by ripping the heart out of the NWO and taking the World Wrestling.
You're talking That's about right. the New World Orders.
That's right.
Hall and Nash,
That's
WCW
right.
Tag Team
That's
Champions.
That's right.
You're going to start to dismantle them piece by piece.
These two men right here know about pride and tradition. They're going to take those titles Saturday.
Hey, yo.
All right, for a minute there, I thought you lost it.
Hey, yo. Enough of your sob story there, DiBiase. All hail the Outsiders.
You can answer them if you want.
Now, just like everybody here in Michigan, we know that the Einsteiners are really good. But Hall and Nash were better. And these gold belts prove it.
I think the bitman's going to
talk. Hey, DiBiase! This goes out to you, Pumpkinhead! When we said we were NWO for life, we meant it. You must not have understood the for life part, because at this point, you joined the Steiners, you're a dead man.
Teddy.
Listen, you two knuckleheads, remember one thing. I know more about you two than anybody else, and they're going to know it when they climb in the ring. You can bet your bottom dollar.
Everybody knows the only reason the Steiners got you is so they had somebody to read the menus when they're on the road.
Well, please, you don't need to throw insults out here, Nash. We're going to find out. This Saturday night on pay-per-view in Sturgis, the Steiners colliding head-on and challenging Hall and Nash, the Outsiders, for the WCW Tag Team titles. Ted DiBiase, are you going to lead him to the ring in the Black Hills?
I'm going to lead him to the ring, and I'm going to lead him to victory. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to have new World Championship Wrestling Tag Team Champions.
Thank you. Stay tuned. More Nitro Kentucky live from the Motor City.
So, a couple things in here. One is that DiBiase almost says WWF. And yeah. Mean Gene has to help him, which Mean Gene was pretty quick on it, though, and you know, handled it pretty well. He's like, oh, are you? Do you mean it's modern day Summerfest? So you mean this? And he's, yes, yes, yes. And another thing is, what the fuck? All of a sudden, DiBiase, because we forget it was a long time ago that DiBiase was kind of like, why do you keep beating up? Who the hell was Nash killing?
Rick.
Oh, that's who he was fucking killing Steiner. Jesus Christ. I didn't even realize it was a fucking Steiner. That makes more sense that he's with them now. And he was sick by it because he kept on killing Steiner before he pinned him. And DiBiase walked away. And that was the last we saw of DiBiase. So now he is the manager. And how bad is it that... See, remember when I say that Nash does not play the bad guy role at all? He doesn't play the chicken shit heel at all.
No.
And it's, they come out and he goes, the only reason you guys have DiBiase as a manager is to read the fucking menus to you.
Yeah, they end up with the best lines here as well.
Yeah, it's always they get put over the most. It's like, yeah, of course you're going to be a fan of Nash and Hall. Jesus Christ. Conan versus Psychosis. Mysterio shows in this. He's got an issue with Conan. And then you get a dead guy, Silver King and Damien versus the Cat and Glacier. Oh, who? Who's the guy? Who's his partner?
Glacier.
Thank you. Bischoff's in the ring again, and he calls out J.J. Dillon, and he threatens Zbyszko. If he touches him, he gets to kick his ass. Okay. Hour number three, DDP versus Ric Flair. Mr. Perfect shows up. I can't call him Kurt Hennig. It's just, it's impossible. It's that. It's so impossible to call him Kurt Hennig instead of Mr. Perfect. That's all you know him as. He's Mr. Perfect. Is a disqualification. And, because Flair is getting, or DDP is getting involved with Kurt.
It was Kurt Hennig.
Hennig, yeah, right?
It's terrible.
Mexican tag match, really, who gives a shit? But the Velvanos do twin magic to win. And that's how they win the match in the Mexicans, because there's Velvano 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We get to look forward to him getting hurt on Ultimate Warrior's trapdoor eventually. Mean Gene is with J.J. Dillon talking about he wants to talk to Sting. He needs to talk to him. Sting shows up, and J.J. Dillon has a contract, another one. First, it was 6 that he had a contract for. And now it's Kurt Hennig. I got a contract for you. And Sting.
The contract for Stevie Richards, Raven, Sting, and all these people are just walking around without deals.
Yeah, it's. I could give you this guy to face. At least it's. I mean, they don't even think, hey, we're paying Sting. He hasn't had a match. It's not up to him who he faces.
The Kurt Hennig thing as well, in terms of he's going to work for the highest bidder. Like he already works for WCW, but now like the group's
paying him on the side,
so he gets 2 wages. All the guys in the factions get paid twice today.
I guess so. I'm like, shit. Horseman gives you more money. I guess you get the benefits. You get the whores that they travel around with, all that kind of stuff. Because they even mention that kind of thing. Oh, you just don't want your wife to see that you're with us. Lex Luger versus Hogan for the WCW Championship, even though They're supposed to have a match for the title at Road Wild.
Yeah.
In,
and we'll talk about a little bit about that because...
5 days.
I mean, I started Road Wild now, and the match, obviously I know the match is still happening because it does. But it's like at the end of the show, I'll let you talk about what happened in a minute, but they don't actually tell you that the match is still happening.
Well, yeah, Hogan's the only one. Now, you'll hear it in this clip. This is the end of the match and the aftermath of the match of Hogan.
And Luger not putting up at all. So, doesn't seem to be much left. There's his leg drop.
That's it. That's it.
Cover one, two, and he kicked out.
Kicked out of Hulk Hogan. Hollywood Hogan's finishing maneuver. That's won him the title. That's
beaten. Do it again.
You know how many people he's beaten with that maneuver?
Superhuman effort on the part of Luger to kick out.
Now here comes Luger. He feels it. He hears it.
Got him down. Scott Hall is in. Scott Hall goes down. There they are. Outsiders are down. The Macho Man is up. He's down. And the match continues. Luger caught him.
Caught him with that forearm.
Macho Man.
There goes Savage.
He's fighting off all of them.
He smells it.
He's going to wreck him. They're standing in Detroit.
Yes.
He's got him in the rack. He's got him in the rack.
Hogan says yes. Hogan says yes.
Look at him tap out.
Luger won the title. Luger won the title.
Luger won the title! Luger's a champion! Luger's a champion! Luger defeats Hogan!
Incredibly, Lex Luger is the heavyweight champion of the world!
It is celebration time in the Motor City!
It was the rat, guys! It was that one move that we had talked about for so long! But Luger not only won it with the rack, he fought off Hall, Nash, Savage. They did not touch him. Randy Anderson allowed the match to continue. Good call, Randy Anderson. And Lex Luger, once again in his wonderful career, is the heavyweight champion of the world, live here on Nitro.
Well, there he is. The new WCW champion. I'll tell you something. This puts a heck of a dent in the NWO. This is a big step in reverse for them. But the way he manhandled Savage, Hall, Nash, and then went on to pick up Hollywood Hulk Hogan, rack him across those big, massive shoulders. And yes, you're watching it live from Auburn Hills outside Detroit, Michigan. The Stanley Cup was won here. Now, you can say this. Maybe Luger's town.
Look at the show of unity on the part of World Championship Wrestling. Everyone from Alex Wright to the Steiner Brothers to the Giant to Ernest Miller, Dean Malenko, all in to show their support for Luger and WCW.
You know, I have witnessed world title matches where a new man was crowned champ. 1983, 1986, when Sting won in 1990. But never with so much emotion and so much camaraderie as we are seeing right there. This has been a breathtaking night from the opening bell. We certainly are thrilled to be able to bring this to you. Lex Luger is the new heavyweight champion of the world, defeating Hollywood Hulk Hogan here tonight. That coupled with the fact that Ted... Okay, I understand there's a celebration backstage. We're going to attempt to go back there in just a moment. That couple with Ted DiBiase going over to the Steiner Brothers and all that's gone on, you can definitely say that WCW is at, on the 4th of August, 1997, its strongest point since the insurgence of the NWO back at Memorial Day of 1996, Mike.
Wow, what a 100th Nitro. We talked earlier about all the memorable moments in the history of Monday Nitro, and this has to be number one.
Brain?
I wish we were backstage right now. I bet the bottles, the champagne corks are popping. Everybody's high-fiving everybody. And there's a big celebration going back there. That's where we should be right now. The whole world right now. And everybody at WCW behind me. They're watching. Well, you think it was a World Series. You think it was a Stanley Cup or a Super Bowl. But no, this is the biggest night for WCW right now. Lex Luger, you're watching live backstage as the new champion of the world, and they're washing off NWO. Once again, tradition takes its place in this great, great sport. Lex Luger beat up the NWO and became the new heavyweight champion of the world. Headlines tomorrow in all the papers. Luger makes Hogan say, "I had it. I quit."
You know, and that's quite a scene right there. The giant with the, apparently with paint thinner, taking the letters NWO off, letters that have been on since Hogan won the title 1 year ago from the giant.
Jesus, God is Sturgis, brother. The family business. Jesus, good God, my man. You know, it wasn't supposed to happen, bro. It wasn't supposed to happen, man. He got lucky, my man.
Who's a fluke?
Hey, you guys watch my back and stir this. Good God, Luger! Good God, I'm gonna just... Jesus! God! Whoa. Get out of here!
Yeah, we better get that camera out of there right now.
Get him out of here! It was a fluke!
All right, Macho Man sucking off Hogan, tell him it was a fluke. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are that obviously, it's the 100th episode, so you got to do something. But I don't know if I would have done this title change, especially when Hogan's coming up to a year from Road Wild to Road Wild. Mm-hmm. And it would have been a better thing if he's going into the Sting match with having that 15-month run as opposed to a 3-month run. Although, you know, the minor interruption doesn't really feel like Hogan ever lost the title anyway. But yeah, I would have done that for a bit longer. One other thing I will touch on is that they're very good at what Hogan's good at sort of saying something he said earlier. So he mentioned that if he beats Luger tonight, then he'll face Scott Hall at Road Wild. So that kind of leads you to believe that what's going to happen here is just going to be a WCW DQ finish.
Mm-hmm.
It throws you off the scent of only two things can happen here. Either Luger's going to get the DQ and they're still going to have the match, or he will maybe face Scott Hall, because it's just clever to offer an alternative match, because he's not going to turn around. What he's covered there is the possibility of, as you're sitting there as a fan, the storyline holds going to be, oh, well, you know, if Hogan wins, why is Hogan going to bother winning tonight if he's going to have to face him again on Sunday? You know what I mean? You know, we're always looking for continuity.
Sure.
Right. So the continuity error would be that Luger gets two title shots in 6 days, right?
Yes.
The Hogan turns around and says he won't. Like he said, this is the shot today. And to clear it up, here's the challenger. If I win... if I don't win, you know, it's obviously I'm gonna invoke my rematch clause, etc. He didn't actually say that, because obviously you can't show that you really believe that, even consider the outcome that you can't win. You know, no one's gonna turn around and say, well, if I lose, this happens, because that doesn't happen in wrestling.
Sure.
But I just thought the line was clever in terms of dealing with the continuity, and it was probably something that Hogan even put in himself, in terms of him saying, well, what are we selling if I win? You know what I mean? Like, this would happen in real sports, in a big match, they would offer all the directions in terms of where they would go if both guys won. And it would never be, if the champion wins, he just faces the same guy again. That would never, ever happen. It only happens in wrestling. And Hogan sort of tidied it up. I just wanted to mention it.
Yeah, it's the one time that WCW actually gets shit together.
Well, I wouldn't even say it was them. I honestly feel this was Hulk Hogan.
That'd be interesting to know if that's one of the questions you got to write into the Bischoff Show and on Twitter, find out. That's how Nitro goes off the air, and they're cleaning the belt too, by the way. And you know what's funny is over the last weekend, I guess Nash did a signing, and somebody gave him a belt to spray paint. He completely ruined the belt.
Oh, really?
It was horrific. I got to send it to you. It's halfway through, Nash is kind of like, fuck. It's so bad. It's a blob of black. You can't even tell. I was like, what the hell is he even writing? You couldn't even tell.
Well, the fan's an idiot, though, because you can buy the fucking spray-painted belt already.
So yeah, but I mean to say that he actually... I mean, I was trying to send my belt to Hogan's Beach Shop to have him spray-paint it, and they told me no. They said, oh, we can't spray-paint in the store. I'm like, go in the fucking alley. Give me a fucking break. But I was like, to say the belt was actually spray-painted by Hogan, that'd be fucking great.
Why don't you just go to Hogan's Beach Shop and have him spray-paint the belt? Like, he'll do it like... You know, be a part of the spectacle for the queue.
I wonder if he'll fucking ever do it because they say, oh, we won't spray it in the shop. Because you could you could mail stuff to them to sign, so.
How much does that cost to on top?
God, I think it's like $150 to $200 bucks.
Mm. I'm pretty sure that he would spray it in front of a signing because obviously that's something for, you know, it's a little pop, isn't it, that you'd get. The shop things is bullshit. They just can't be bothered to buy the spray paint. And they don't want to fuck your belt up.
Yeah. I'm like, if he put an X across it, you'd just be like, oh, fuck, Hogan did it. I wouldn't even care if it was fucked up, you know? Let's get into Raw and see what's going on right after Survivor Series. After SummerSlam happens, the first thing they do when they open up the show is have the Hart Foundation talking in the ring. You get a new commissioner who ends up showing up. And then, of course, Austin shows up. What's funny is I did not remember who the fuck the commissioner was going to be, which is fun because I'm like, oh, who the fuck was it? I forget. So when they come out, you're like, okay, it's a surprise for me. It's still new. Have a listen.
Certainly last night at SummerSlam, it had to be one of the most controversial WWF title matches of all time. I think it was obvious to many fans that you certainly attempted to provoke Shawn Michaels. If we can take you back to last night, Brett, you spit in the man's face. You spit in the man's face, and then that provoked Shawn Michaels. As he attempted to hit you with a steel chair, you ducked. And Shawn Michaels struck The Undertaker right in the face with a steel chair. Down went The Undertaker. Shawn Michaels would then count to three. And then Bret the Hitman Hart, for the fifth time, became the World Wrestling Federation champion. Now, I am sure that your fellow Canadians, the fans in the United Kingdom, in Germany and around the world are very proud of you. I've got a gut feeling here that the fans here in Pennsylvania are not too proud that you are the WWF champion. Some say it was fake. What do you say?
Gonna make you smile? Huh? They say you're supposed to suffer for your crimes. Well, if you're not suffering, maybe it wasn't a crime. You know, I went in there last night and proved what I've been saying for the longest time, that I am the best there is, the best there was, and plain and simply the best that there ever will be. And I proved it against all odds, against a man from the dark side, a man that's from the devil and death and despair. I proved it with a referee that was against me all along, and he favored the other guy throughout the entire match. You know, I stuck to the letter of the word of the whole agreement. I stuck to my word. But what I can see so far is that the World Wrestling Federation, they're not sticking to their word. They said that if Shawn Michaels showed any kind of favoritism, that he would never, ever wrestle in the United States of America again. Now, you know, here in America and everywhere else, all my fans around the world know that Shawn Michaels favored The Undertaker from the start of that match to the end of that match. And the only reason that I'm standing here today is the World Wrestling Federation. It's the simple reason that this Canadian is going to be a lot smarter than both of those Americans, whether they like it or not. So what I want to know is what the World Wrestling Federation is going to do. Are they going to stick to their word? I want this guy out of the World Wrestling Federation. I want him out of American wrestling, and I want him to stick to the letter of the law. They owe it to me to stand by their word.
You have a matchup on September the 7th at Ground Zero against The Patriot, a man that defeated you right here on Raw last week. What are your thoughts on that athlete?
Unlike last night, that was a total, complete fluke. And the only reason The Patriot even won is because of outside interference from Shawn Michaels. He knows it, I know it, and Shawn Michaels knows it. So Patriot, you know, all you are to me is a missile with nothing in it. And you mean nothing to me. You talk about American values and American morals. Then you come out with Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels. You mean nothing. You don't even mean anything to me. I'll tell you what does mean something to me. The British Bulldog last night went in there gallantly against Ken Shamrock. And this guy showed absolutely no discipline whatsoever. He made a mockery of himself and a class act in the World Wrestling Federation. And under no circumstances will Ken Shamrock ever get another shot at the British Bulldog's European Championship belt. And as far as Brian Pillman goes, the Hart Foundation, we don't wear dresses. We're not going to wear a dress because there's a new boss in town. There's a new sheriff. And this sheriff says that Brian Pillman's got far too much class to ever lower himself to that level and be wearing a stupid dress. And as far as my lovable brother Owen, what happened to my brother Owen was nothing but another classic example of American justice. And Owen, well, you tell how you feel. This guy's...
You know, Brett, you can't imagine the rage, the anger, and how mad I really am. Because last night, I did a real stupid thing. I showed compassion to Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I beat myself. Is what I did. But Austin, in doing that, I made you a crippled freak. You're paralyzed. You're in a hospital somewhere in New Jersey. I don't know where the hell you are. But I ended your career last night. You may have stole my Intercontinental belt, but you'll never wrestle again, son. I left you in the ring a crippled freak. You could barely move. And the only reason you beat me was because I had compassion and I beat myself. But the only thing to do, son, is for you to forfeit that belt and give it back to me, or either come out and let me kick your ass again, because you're a crippled freak and you'll never wrestle again. So the only way to solve it is by giving me my belt back.
How, obviously we didn't give you the who the commissioner is yet. We're going to add that in a little bit, but we wanted to talk about what was just said first. They can't do this kind of shit anymore either. You're a crippled freak.
You couldn't call anyone a crippled freak now. Oh, you couldn't
call
them a cripple. You couldn't call them a cripple, and you couldn't imply that cripples
are freaks. Don't call me a cripple. Don't call me a freak, and don't imply that I'm a crippled freak. My God.
This must have been like winding Steve Austin up now as well.
God. I can't, you know, yeah, because, you know, even though it's all bullshit, they do take shit to heart and they get all pissy. And it's like, you know, this is bullshit. Like when I was in wrestling, I had to ask permission a couple times for some of the shit that I was going to say about people. And I'm like, it's a fucking joke. It's a fucking story. Why, how could someone be pissed off?
But it's weird at this point that Owen's not even gone and spoken to him or whatever. Like, you can kind of understand why he's pissed off. And then he's going to say all these stuff in a promo. So, I mean, you know that he's saying Crippled Freak without even asking Austin if it's all right to say it. But then, obviously, and then Austin is obviously not crippled, but he's an injured guy. he's an injured athlete off the back of what Owen did, and Owen's using it for heat. And obviously they've got that extra stuff where he kicks out on two the night before, and he didn't want to do the pile driver like that anyway. And Owen's in here getting all this heat. And then even later on, it's like Austin's involved in the finish of the Owen match. So I mean, it's like, how did they not talk all day?
I would love to hear. Really, so, like, I mean, the guy we want to hear it from is Owen, but or I bet you his wife knows about it too, but God knows she's not talking.
What did you think here of like Brett's like first promo as champion? I don't think it was, I put it in as a you know, as something where you had to include it because it's his first promo as champion, but I didn't necessarily think he set the world on fire with this.
Well, it's just rubbing in the face. It's more of an I told you so type of thing. I'm waiting for Neidhart to come out and get his beard shaved off.
I think in one sense, even within Brett's promo, what more can you say? It's like, I got the champion and I got the championship, but now I watch Shawn Michaels fired. So even when in his promo, he even shifts the focus to Shawn. There's not as much I told you so as there is I want this done to Shawn, and he didn't call it down the middle, and I still won. And yeah, it was a bit like I overcame all of these hills, but he then still had to talk about Shawn Michaels, and then Shawn Michaels is talking about Shawn Michaels, and Undertaker wants Shawn Michaels, and the commentators are talking about Shawn Michaels. So he has taken that heat that he complained about.
See, that is something, because you figure, you go, okay, off the surface, you go, all right, well, that's the next program. It's Brett and Shawn, so of course he should go there. But meanwhile, it's Shawn and Undertaker first. So
no, next week's the Shawn Michaels show completely, but obviously we'll talk about it when we get there. Mm-hmm. But
let's hear who the new commissioner is, because after that Owen speech, JR reveals the new commissioner.
Well, I'm sure that your words have not fallen on deaf ears. As a matter of fact, I'm sure our commissioner has been listening. I'd like to introduce, ladies and gentlemen, the commissioner of the World Wrestling Federation. Please welcome Sergeant Slaughter.
I'd like to let you know a little secret. You aren't the new sheriff in town. I am! And I make the rules in the World Wrestling Federation, not you. And my first decision as commissioner of the World Wrestling Federation is that you will defend your title at Ground Zero, and it will be against the man who beat you right here on Raw, the Patriot.
That's not gonna make Pat too happy.
Get a title shot with me. Who did he ever beat to get a title shot?
You. And you, Bulldog, you will have another match with Ken Shamrock. And it will be be soon, and that's an order. And you, Brian Pillman, you will live up to your agreement from last night. And you will wear a dress tonight right here on Raw, or you'll be suspended. And you, Owen Hart, you will have another rematch with Steve Austin. When the doctor gives his approval, and when Stone Cold says so.
So right now, Owen Hart, I don't need no doctor's approval. I ain't gonna wear this piece of crap they gave me. The fact that you dumped me on my head last night don't mean a damn thing to me. The fact of the matter was, you were too stupid to cover me when you had the chance. The bottom line is, you're a loser, Owen Hart. Not because I say you are, but because it runs through your veins, because your mom and dad gave that to you, and can't nothing I do about that. Tonight I truly will open up a can of whoop ass and show you exactly what Austin 316 means, and that's the bottom line.
So Austin's still there. And still working, even though he's hurt, because God forbid he is not on the show, because they need him, obviously.
I mean, he can't sell that injury for even a day, even though he can't wrestle at all.
Yeah, I mean,
but they do the thing where he can't get medically cleared and whatnot.
Yeah, so I mean, it should be where he's not there because he's really fucked up, but it's more realistic. It's like, no, I'm injured. I can't fucking do anything because I'm so fucked up. Nation of Domination, they're in the back. Shamrock versus Kama. The Los Barriquas show up, and then Legion of Doom show up. I mean, NOD shows up. I said Legion of Doom. It's NOD, not LOD. They show up. Shamrock wins this match. Then you got Baracus is coming, which Vince was probably in love with because of the size of the motherfucker. But he was fucking off, and then he lost the Brawl for All, so it didn't help him.
Well, that's not for 2 years. That's not for another year.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't remember ever seeing the fucker have a match. Taka Michinoku versus Brian Christopher, and Taka actually fucking wins this match.
Yeah,
which is surprising. I'm like, wow, look at this. They were pushing Christopher like crazy.
Small package or something, wasn't it?
Slaughter. He's in the back and he tells Brian Pillman he got to win a fucking dress. I don't care. You're wearing this fucking dress and you're wearing it until you win. And that's the new thing. Before it was you just had to wear a dress. We never got the stipulation that it's until you win a match, which I think really helps, obviously, because they could fuck with him more. And so Pillman's all pissed off. He got to wear this fucking dress. Triple H versus Vader. That's a double count out. And then we have some fans talking about what happened at SummerSlam.
Undertaker should have won. Shawn Michaels should have never interfered in his match. If he didn't interfere and watch his temper because of Bret Hart, because he hates Bret Hart, he would have won.
All I got to say is that The Undertaker, he was robbed, man. That was unbelievable. That's all I got to say.
You should never have an idiot like Shawn Michaels refereeing anything.
I think Shawn Michaels is a traitor. I think he did it on purpose, and he's going to get a royal ass whipping. He deserves it, and I think Undertaker should win.
I think today Bret Hart lucked out. The next time, the Undertaker's going to make him rest in peace.
This is the kind of shit I'm embarrassing. I'm a wrestling fan.
Yeah, hillbilly fans.
Oh, my God. It's like, fuck. You know, when they, I can't imagine somebody comes up to you outside and, oh, what do you think of this and that? And it's kind of like known, well, I have to pretend it's real. And, you know, oh, if this Shawn Michaels, this bastard. It's like, nah, he followed the script. What am I going to say?
No, I don't think these, and that's the thing. I'm surprised that they wanted this to be portrayed. I think as the time goes on, they like learn. I mean, that's why they're trying to, always trying to do the thing where they're picking out women in the crowd to support DX. I think within 12 months, they kind of do sort of work out what they want to portray their fans as, and it isn't this.
We get the Sultan versus the Patriot. Before that was Triple H and Vader for a double countout. But Sultan and, versus Patriot. Patriot wins. Then Bret Hart shows up and beats the shit out of the Patriot. And Patriot later on says, Bret, I want a piece of you. All hillbillied out, too. In-ring interview here. And it is with Shawn Michaels explaining what happened. And now starting to turn heel.
Oh, he's turned heel.
Oh, this is right into the fucking... This is the heel promo. This is Shawn Michaels turning heel.
I can't imagine getting upset because somebody spits a big hucker right in your mouth. I'll tell you what, King, be that as it may, he knew the job was going to be tough when he took the assignment.
Well, I guess maybe that pretty much tells you something. A mixed reaction by this capacity crowd. And there's no doubt whether you did your job or you didn't do your job, if it hadn't have been for you, The Undertaker might still be the World Wrestling Federation champion.
So let me get this straight. You, The Undertaker, Bret the Hitman Hart, and the best that I can tell, all of the fans of the world Wrestling Federation are dumping this in my lap.
Yeah.
I don't know that's necessarily fair.
Shut up! What? Because you know something? It's just like you. It's just like Bret Hart. And whether anybody in this arena likes it or not, it's just like all the fans of the World Wrestling Federation to not take responsibility for themselves and pass the buck on to the Heartbreak Kid, because everybody knows I don't give a damn what anybody thinks of me. Shut up. I went out there last night for the first time in my career, put on a referee shirt, and did one hell of a job. I called it down the middle, right or wrong.
Yes, you did.
Exactly.
May I ask you a pertinent question, please?
Yeah, cough it up.
All right. It's on a lot of people's minds. Is something like this, as controversial as it always is, are you in any way in cahoots with Bret Hart? As preposterous as that may sound, a lot of people are wondering that.
You know, I've always known you were a Nimrod, but now you have convinced me that you are the dumbest son of a bitch I have ever met in my life.
Well, first of all, I don't appreciate that. Let's get that straight, okay? And in addition...
Excuse me while I shudder in my loafers, McMahon.
Well, you just might be shuddering come September 7 when you step into this ring with The Undertaker. That's when you're gonna be shuddering. Right here, you can finish it.
Get your ass out of here. You can move it or lose it, McMahon. Let me tell everybody what the story is. I am not in any way, shape, or form in cahoots with Bret Hart. It is no secret that Bret Hart doesn't like me. Bret Hart doesn't respect me. But one thing is for damn sure, Bret Hart needs me. Because I am the only man in the World Wrestling Federation that has beat his ass. And that is the truth. And Undertaker, you and I, for as long as we've been in the World Wrestling Federation, have never crossed paths. Except for now. People, something. Undertaker, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, lays down for absolutely no one. I don't do it for Bret Hart. I don't do it for you. I don't do it for the fans of the World Wrestling Federation. I don't do it for anybody. Undertaker, the next time you see Shawn Michaels, his super. Years I've given you, and this is the respect that you give me. Each and every one of you can go to hell. Undertaker, the next time you see me, my super kick is going to be 1 foot down your throat.
So we left you up until Undertaker's music, and we'll play you what happens later with Undertaker coming out during this. But it's interesting because Vince is like, are you in cahoots with with Bret Hart? He's like, you're a fucking moron.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're not talking to me that way. He's like, here, finish the interview. Fuck off. He's fucking sick of him. But people thinking that, I'm like, well, that would be a good thing. Talk about a swerve that Shawn Michaels sides with Bret Hart. Oof.
I couldn't even imagine what that would look like.
Oh, my God. That would be fucking, imagine that tag team. That's fucking perfect. So he explains what happened. And it's funny because when I'm watching that match, I don't consider like that he's bad at all. I mean, it's obviously a fucking accident and obviously that he fucking hates Bret Hart. I never for a second. It was like, well, yeah, he fucking had it with Bret and missed. But I'm like, yeah, well, that makes you a bad guy.
No, they went in their direction that they did. I mean, Ross is doing a whole thing of, I noticed this in the commentary that Ross is doing the whole, why did he count thing? It's like, because that was the stipulation.
Because he's fucked, would, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that was not intelligent commentary at this point where he was going, where he was throwing a whole other issue in there. It's like they were trying to almost sell the Bret thing where it's like, oh, they want you to think, is he with Bret? But it's like, no one's even considering that. And I think the main thing that you're considering out of this is what the Undertaker's response to Shawn Michaels is going to be. And I almost think I would have played it out a little bit longer here where, you know, we waited so long for him to be heel, whereas I would have had him come out and apologize to The Undertaker and then have The Undertaker not accept the apology, and then that leads to him attacking him.
Yeah, after. That could be a, yeah, oh, you don't accept my apology? Then, well, fuck you then and kick him in the face.
Yeah, they're not going to, like, boo Undertaker for that. They're ready to turn on Shawn anyway. I just feel like this had one more reek to run because of the point you made in terms of, well, how does it make you a heel? Someone spat in his face and he missed. I mean, that would mean that every tag team that miscalculated a move, which we see all the time, were the guy that fucked up was a heel. I mean, it doesn't matter though. I mean, it's the fact is that he slipped into the role that he needed to go into, and the finish was good. And I just think all of a sudden, there was a lot of that on this show, in terms of we're announcing Patriot and Bret Hart in the Bret Hart promo. We're announcing Shawn Michaels is facing The Undertaker in the Shawn Michaels promo. Straight away, the match is made.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when it got made, but I didn't hear about it until Raw was on it. And so in 24 hours, these matches all got made by who? The commissioner that they only announced at the top of the show. So what, he got this job at like 9 a.m. and been working all day. Like, it was just, it wasn't a bad show, but like, I mean, it was just, it was very abrupt, a lot of stuff that they did.
What do you think of the, if Shawn apologized to Taker and Taker actually said, you know what, I understand people do make mistakes, but if I find out it was on purpose, we're going to have a problem. And then Shawn going, that wasn't on purpose, but this is, and then kicks him in the face.
Yeah, I mean, anything where the mistake in itself turns you heel, because this show started with them going in a direction that he wanted to mm-hmm. turn heel. And most of the time, and most of the hillbillies in that promo we played, they're attacking Shawn Michaels. And I almost feel like they only obviously hunted for these interviews in particular in order to fit the narrative. Whereas, like, I think the narrative's absolutely fine to turn Shawn Michaels heel and have him face The Undertaker first. But it has to be off the back of a little bit more than that. But, I mean, in hindsight, with what in comparison to what we have right now, I can't really pick this apart.
Let's hear what Undertaker... Undertaker went to the ring, and, of course, Shawn Michaels took off because he's being a heel. Let's hear what Undertaker has to say. And then... he's interrupted because Paul Bearer has something to say with this storyline continuing about his brother, whoever this brother of The Undertaker is. His brother's still alive.
Telling you how mad I am or how bad I am, because The Undertaker has been doing way too much talking, and now it's time to get back to doing what I do best, and that's taking souls and making people rest in peace. Shawn Michaels, you're gonna have to look me in the eyes, and you're gonna have to pay for your crimes, and you will rest in peace.
Well, well, well!
Oh, no.
Speaking of paying for crimes, dead man, you're the criminal! Look at you now. Lost a little weight, haven't you? Go ahead. Call Paul Bearer names. Make fun of the fat man. Yes, make fun of him. I was with Kane last night, and what? He's ready. He's ready to come. He's waited 20 years to face his brother. Aye, aye. He's coming, dead man. Laugh at me. Call me a liar, but Kane's coming. He's coming! He's coming! Yes, he is! Yes, yes, yes!
All right, we're gearing up to that special brother that's coming out. Special Ed brother. After this, you get Dr. Andrews talking about Austin's injury. Or... just a neck doctor talking about Austin's injury. It's always Andrews.
That's not Dr. Andrews, because Dr. Andrews is a real doctor. This guy that seems like a backstage actor.
Yeah,
doctor.
Andrews does the knees anyway, not the neck. Ahmed Johnson versus Chains. This is the guy he's taking out on for injuring his knee. Meanwhile, it was his own fault.
This is fucked. They messed this match up big time. I think if you watch it carefully, you'll notice that Chains doesn't get a move, and Ahmed is just dropping on his head with these. They look like they're sort of power bombs. No, they're hitting him. He's hitting him with Michinoku drivers, if you recall. And they look really fucking dangerous. And Ahmed's clearly like injured here himself, which is why they had to write him off. So he keeps fucking hitting Michinoku drivers. And then Chains hits like one move where he chops his knee. And then he gets distracted by Barriqua's fucking up his bike or something.
Well, it's the Slaughter tells the Nation to leave and DOA to leave. The Barriquas then show up and distract Chains because they are getting on his motorcycle.
Yeah, that's it. That's all mm-hmm. they're doing, isn't it? They're on his motorcycle. Couldn't remember what... Yeah, so he turns around and looks, and then he gets fucking Pearl River plunged. Mm-hmm. And it was like, this match was basically Ahmed on top, Michinoku driver. Chains then chops his knee, gets the one move and turns around, and then he's hit with the fucking Power of a plunge.
And now the Nation anyway. Shows up afterwards and jumps Ahmed, which is like, this is the most bizarre fucking thing where I'm expecting, well, like, we know that Ahmed's barely in this Nation for a minute and then is out again. But
does he have to come back?
Oh, I believe so. The thing is that it makes no fucking sense because they were saying, oh, like Vince showed them in the back, hey, this can't continue because look at you guys. Who the fuck's going to beat you? We need a good guy. And so I would think they would tell Ahmed, okay, we're going to make it like you infiltrated them and bullshitted them to get on the inside to fuck them up and have him jump them. But it's like, oh... You joined them and you get fucked.
That's the story that you know that they were given. That look at you guys, no one's going to beat you.
Yeah, it makes no sense the way they trying to get out of it now. It's like
I didn't even know that was a thing that was said.
Ahmed was on a podcast and he said that they pulled him in and said it was just them walking to the ring. And he said, how the fuck are you guys going to lose? And like,
that's funny because Pritchard turned around on this show for SummerSlam 97 and he turned around and said that they needed to get the belt of Undertaker because they couldn't get any sympathy on a guy that was 6'10". So it's like, well, why did you make him the champion then? It's almost like they were saying that this Brett change was booked, you know, mid-run. Like it wasn't a plan at WrestleMania 13 to turn Brett and make him the champion.
You know, I never get the whole, oh, how could someone get sympathy for somebody? The fans love them. It doesn't matter. If you love somebody and they're getting, you know, beat up or, you know, just losing a match, you're going to be upset. So it's. I think a lot of shit is always overthought.
See, I wonder if also at this point, before they knew that they were turning Shawn, which I would only think would be after the hair-pulling incident and all that, I wonder if Kane was going to show up at SummerSlam and cost The Undertaker the title.
I don't know. I mean, they did push back Kane for so fucking long. It's very possible that he should have been there way earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder, like, if they held off and went, you know what? We've got a different finish now. We can get another 2 months out of it. We can get a Michaels Undertaker program. Whereas, you know, maybe at one point they were just thinking, this is a good way to get the title off Undertaker and move straight into the Kane program. But, you know, even after Kane arrives, they drag that out all the way to WrestleMania. And like you talk about, you always say you miss the way that they let storylines breathe mm-hmm. and go on longer. And I think the Kane thing ended up being paced out perfectly. I just wondered what the contingency plan was for Undertaker losing to Bret Hart if they didn't have this finish planned out and when the Michaels finish came around. And the SummerSlam podcast with Something to Wrestle With doesn't address any of that stuff. But it's too late to ask a question now because it was recorded like nearly 2 years ago.
Headbangers versus the Godwins. Godwins win this. Now we get Pillman in a dress. He's got to win to get out of this dress, and he goes against Bob Holly. So they're putting him against jobbers.
Should be fine then.
What's that?
He should be fine.
Oh, he should be fine. Yeah, of course. It shouldn't be an issue in this fucking match. Goldust shows up, though, and distracts him and says, oh, come get me, come get me. And Pillman gets out of the ring to fucking go beat up Goldust, and it's a countout. He loses. So on to next week, he has to fucking wear a dress again. We'll see how long that continues before he dies. Owen versus Dude Love. Bret Hart is on commentary and interferes. The Bulldog shows up. Austin hits Owen with a slammy, and Dude gets the pin. Afterwards, the Dudettes run in the ring, and one of them is Mick's wife, actually. When she was a bit younger, but she was a model. And she's looking good. She's looking all the way live. And that's how your Monday Night Raw goes off the air. I have the ratings if you would like to take a guess.
Oh, Nitro win is easy. Sure. 100%. Yeah. Over a million.
It is Raw 2.7, Nitro 4.4.
4.4 in 97.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, they're winning by a lot here.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a double, almost, you know, their own score.
Because 2.7 is okay. Like, 2.7 means that WWF are doing a lot better this year.
Yeah, wait until we get into the fucking eights. Remember, that fucking happens eventually.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the WWE 8 get that 8 in 99, but
my God.
In 98, there's like a lot of like 5-point this versus 5-point that. We do get to 10 or 11 million people watching these shows at one point.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is your Back to the Monday Night War show for this week. Tune in on Saturday where you will hear Hog Wild. Road Wild. I keep on fucking that up. They're not allowed to say Hog Wild because Harley Davidson threatened a lawsuit. So they had to change it from Hog Wild the first time now to Road Wild.
I fucking hate the motorcycles on that pay-per-view. I already started watching
it. Drives me crazy.
You could tell, like, that Heenan and Dusty don't really love it too much. I mean, Shivani just, he doesn't care. But, I mean, they're getting pretty peeved with it. Like,
they're walking on fucking dirt and gravel. And it's like, geez, they don't even have a fucking carpet to roll out there. Jesus Christ.
I don't know who came up with this fucking stupid idea. It's probably, I mean, he's Bischoff. It's Bischoff, obviously. He likes bikes and leather and that stupid shit. And yeah, he thought everybody would enjoy a pay-per-view like this, but they don't. And it always gets a fucking massive Hogan match as well.
I'm not into that outside shit. Even Mania outside. I'm not thrilled with an open outside. Bothers me. I like indoor. So that is it. If you want to weigh in on this and let us know what you think, you could go to Twitter and go to @RealWrestlingus if you want to comment on anything you've heard. Otherwise, next week we will be here. Same bat time, same bat channel. And we will do the fallout from Road Wild as well, and see where we are in the Monday Night War. For Billy, I'm Cav. We're out of time.